Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card in.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
It is that time of the week, Friday Form Focus for Zipping Classic Day. It's been a huge build-up. Well, I've enjoyed being live out at Caulfield all week, talking with all of the legendary trainers and telling the tales as training winds down and the build-up to Zipping Classic Day. We'll be live out there from the Mounting Yard tomorrow morning as well. But it's just got a little bit more excitement and a little bit more shine on it with the announcement of Glenn Boss farewelling racing from a jockey point of view in the Zipping Classic tomorrow on the $1.50 favourite Spanish Mission. And Sharknado, as you join me, what a exclamation mark to put on Zipping Classic Day now, having Bossy's final ride in a remarkable career.
It was going to be Jamie Carr's return, then it was Freedom Day, then it was this, then it was that, and then, you know, at the 11th hour, Bossy just chimes in and says, here's a little bombshell.
Exactly. Drop the mic.
I'm signing off.
Isn't it funny how the wheel turns? And, I mean, you don't want to wish a broken nose on Jamie Carr, but it's almost worked out better that it's not the duelling of Jamie Carr's return to the track and Glenn Boss. We can wait next week for Jamie now because it is all centre stage, the showman himself.
Yeah, and the showman's right, isn't it? You think of some of those celebrations post-race, or not even post-race, sometimes going across the line. Was it Poisson's de Lune where he was stood up and he was shaking
his head?
And Bivouac as well.
He did it on Sir Dragon A as well. Private Steer when she got through and won the Doncaster. What about God's Own win? Some of his wins have been absolutely incredible.
Like the win, like the celebration at the post is one thing, but preceding that are these ridiculous rides where he's plotted paths and whatnot and comes through. Feels like you think Maccabi Diva, like most jockeys would be happy to get one Melbourne Cup ride right. He got three of them right on the same horse.
It's incredible.
Just ridiculous sort
and
of stuff.
That ice in the veins ride, all three of Maccabi's wins in the Cup. You just won't see better rides. And then even seven Doncasters. Just incredible stuff.
You look back and have a look at all of those 100 group one, or 90, sorry, group ones. You look back through them, and I can remember a lot of them. And you remember the horses and all that. And you sort of, there's horses there that you haven't thought of in years.
Well, the first one was Telesto, 1994.
Yeah, for Graham Begg. It would have been about, I don't know how old Graham is now, but surely he was in his mid to late 30s, you know, at the time. And like My Brightia in the Oaks. Mm. Darazari, like all these great horses, Akinaton, like Billy Mitchell, you know, these horses and these little moments in time. Like for me anyway, looking back at that list last night, reminiscing, that 94 onwards, 94, what was I? I was 11. That's when you sort of start to get right into racing and, you know, you've got horses, you're cutting out articles and you're putting them in scrapbooks and you're starting to get a bit excited about the sport and who these people are. And Glenn Boss comes on the scene, and you know, throughout that journey and through much of my professional life, he's been the best big race rider. It's been, I'll just say to you before, as we were preparing to come on air, I'm going to take my girls out tomorrow just to see Bossy have his last ride. And it's a little moment in time that you're there, and he's been a constant throughout my love of racing, so I'll go and say well done.
And fingers crossed, it should be the fairy tale farewell where, you know, not many jockeys get to write their exit. And he staged it beautifully. One ride on the day. It's on the $1.50 favourite. That should ride it like a good thing, and it should be winning tomorrow. And then there should be the fanfare. I'm sure Caulfield will put on a big show at the end. The jockeys will come out, and it'll be a moment to remember.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about it tomorrow, and, of course, we'll wrap it up on Tuesday. And looking on Monday's verdict, and then on Tuesday, Bossy's going to join me in the studio, which will be just insane to go through everything that he's done throughout his career, which will be brilliant. And his next career will be just as good, no doubt, in the media. He's going to be one of the most sought-after analysts moving forward. I wonder what the weather is out at Caulfield. It's been a bit of drizzly rain, but speaking of Jason Kerr out there throughout the week, they were expecting a hell of a lot more and it hasn't materialised. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Good, thanks, Michael. How are you?
Very well indeed. Did you get much rain overnight?
We've only had 0.2, so at the start of the week they tipped 40 to 60, and we ended up with 0.6 of a millimetre. So it's throwing us a bit of a curveball late.
How much have you had to put on?
We put on 37 for the week. So last 3 days we've put on 10 mils. That includes 10 mil going on just starting now, and that'll finish about mid-afternoon, which it's certainly into that good four range at the moment. It's a fairly cool, misty sort of day here at the moment, so it's not going to dry out a lot today. So I think it'll push it right into that good four range by the end of today, and then it'll sort of come up nicely in the morning. I think 21 degrees tomorrow, no rain around, and fairly mild sort of day, so pretty happy with it.
Rail out six, haven't been there since Caulfield Cup Day. Expecting it just to be perfect tomorrow?
Yeah, look to the naked eye, it looks magnificent. It's obviously renovated after the Caulfield Cup. It's probably a couple of weeks short of being 100%, but it looks magnificent. The track, it's thick, it's lush. It looks a little bit sort of fresh, I guess, in terms of sort of a lot of the new grass coming through. But we're going to be on top of the track, obviously, so I don't think that's going to come into play. It's had a verti drain over the last sort of 2 or 3 weeks, so plenty of irrigation, lovely, good grass growing weather the last month, so it's been terrific. So I think the track will race very well.
Now, you were walking around the Caulfield training tower all week telling everyone you're going to end the final week of training at Caulfield with an absolute moral. You're going to drop an RSN for Zipping Classic Day. Who is it, Jason?
You put me into the go. I don't think I've tipped the punters that went in the last 12 months. I had a hot streak there for a while, but it abruptly ended. So I'll sign off training at Caulfield tomorrow with Cardinal Gem, Graham Begg's horse in the Guineas. Mm. I think he's been set for the race. A little $5 pop might be a nice one for the punters to say farewell to training at Caulfield.
I like it. A local flavour to end, who has been very well backed as well. Jason, good luck. We'll speak to you trackside tomorrow.
Great. Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
Jason Kurt joining us there. All right, Sharky, let's get into it because we want to whip through Caulfield and get all your winners. I want to winner tonight, the TAB Melbourne Cup, $500,000.
Yes. And I know the hounds.
I know you've got a great greyhound history in your family well.
Dad was a trainer. I know.
Was
got into the legal profession, trained a few hounds. One of them ended up biting me.
I'm not surprised. And then maybe even...
Well, Mum dressed me in a bunny suit and just learning to crawl. So.
Are you kidding me?
No, this is actually
put you in
true.
A bunny suit when your dad was training greyhounds.
Yeah, that's right. And the dog was the last dog he trained, and it was retired and it was living at home. And this is before the GAP program. Like, there was no re-education. It was just, well, you're racing one night, the next night you're retired. Yeah, and Mum had me in a bunny suit, and I've crawled through the lounge room, and old mate's just had a flash of,
Oh, dear me.
He was pretty slow, so that he probably thought, well, here's when I can catch. You know? So.
I like that. All right. We'll get a winner at the Greyhounds tonight. We'll also get the winner of the Winterbottom as well. But let's start off at the Heath tomorrow, and it is the Thoroughbred Club Merson Cooper Stakes. And Joshy Rodder, just before 10 o'clock, will give us the next two instalments of his top 10 Caulfield moments, which have caused a lot of discussion throughout the week. They've been brilliant. Love his passion about the Heath. Tomorrow, tricky race. Only two have started. Moods yesterday gave us a good push for Brereton, who is obviously a very smart two-year-old. And the market tomorrow in the first race has Ebhar, who is another one that's been well spruced from Sydney from the stable of Snowden's. $2.90, Brereton $3.10. Moco was also a good push earlier in the week from Sam Friedman. He said that's their best runner at Caulfield tomorrow, I should say. Their best chance, $4.40. And Silvanito is at $9.50. Have you been able to decipher the two-year-old?
Well, as a starting point, there's only two that have raced. So of those, Brereton is clearly the benchmark. I still think the penny's dropping with this horse. He was there on speed and just kind of floating a bit when Kiki Express got him in the debutante. And then same thing happened at Flemington. He was right up there on speed. He hit the front and was just kind of there, just doing his thing. And then as he got challenged, the head went down again and you could see the horse respond. I think he will only improve as he gets into this preparation. You know, this big Victorian colt syndicate that Rosemont and Mitho have put together with some of the, like, you look at some of the names involved, like, there's some huge names involved in Australian racing, like Qatar, Bloodstock, Musk Creek's involved, Nurulum, the Carricks, they've bought a bit, Chris Owen and Longwood have bought some, Gary Johnson, who owns part of Three Bridges, he's involved, like, there's a big group of proper players in this syndicate, And they've got a horse here that's a stakes-winning two-year-old, and I think he can win again. Of those that are having their first start, Ebhar's obviously been well back. The Randwick Troll was good. I thought, I love the way she joined in there. But then Robbie Dolan just had to sort of half, you know, like hump her along just a little bit to go again. It looked like she ran up to them and then stopped. So I think she might be a bit of a green sort as well. Beautifully bred filly, as you'd expect from Emirates Park. You know, it's just super pedigree on this girl. I didn't mind some jump outs of Maricanto Doll. I know Moco's in there jumping out well as well. And there's another one at big odds here, Yaltara. I liked its yep. recent heat, and it's $23. Mum was a stakes-winning two-year-old. So I think there's plenty there.
Well,
that to say that this is a good race, you know?
Artorias came through last year's Moose and Cooper, so there's always good form and good two-year-olds that come out of this race.
Yeah, my word, there are.
All right, so maybe a little bit something on Brereton, but it'll be a bit of a watch-and-learn race, the first. Race two is the Ned Sandown Cup. This is over 3,200 metres. Accountability is $2.50. True Marvel, $3. Sweet Thomas, $4.40. And those three dominate the market. I had a good chat off-air to Matt Smith, and he told us that True Marvel was just unbelievable, but he's worried that there's not going to be much speed in the race, and he wants a truly run race. He's dropping back 600 metres from that jaw-dropping win at the Valley last start, and Sweet Thomas, he's really well placed over 3,200 metres. So do you see this as just a three-horse race?
Yep. Betting hard, True Marvel. That was as easy a win as you will ever see. I know there wasn't much behind it, and yeah, don't, you know, text in, oh, it was a high weight, oh, it was 3,900, whatever it is. Look at this horse's form when he gets out to 3,000 metres plus. He's had five runs. He's won four of them. The only one he was beaten, he gave the winner weight, and he was beaten the nose. Now, he's a proper marathon stayer, I guess you'd say, in inverted commas, as far as Australia is concerned.
Would you like to see him make it a staying test, or
if they want speed,
does it look like there's much speed?
No, it doesn't look like there's much. I would think Monmouth has been positive in recent runs. They probably go forward. I can't see Inter Rio really out sprinting anything in this race. They'll probably roll forward on it. Lady in the Sky, they probably want to sit off a little bit, I would have thought. Lion's Share, you would imagine, is getting ready for Jericho's or Jumps or something with Stephen Pateman. Maybe they go forward on that horse. There's not a lot of obvious speed. I don't see why True Marvel couldn't make it. He'll outstay just about all of these. His danger is his stablemate.
Yep.
Sweet Thomas, who's got an equally good record at 3,000 metres plus. Accountability, too short in the market for mine. Yeah, it ran on well at Flemington. Team captain had the better of it by three and a bit lengths. Is that the right form? Yeah, don't know. I know he beat Mankayan three back, but Mankayan's Mankayan. Something usually beats him. I just think True Marvel's a bet. I'm happy to...
Happy $3?
Yeah, I'm happy to play there. I've had a little go at it at slightly better, and if that price holds up, depending on the result of race one in Adelaide, which we might get to later on, I might go again.
That's what you call a tease. We'll get to race one Adelaide.
I've never been called a tease before. I'm not usually as subtle as that. I just kind of, it's just laid out, shark laid bare.
I could imagine there wasn't much teasing going on in your younger days. The floodgates open sesame. Race three is the Tobin Brothers Twilight Glow Stakes over 1,400 metres. No scratchings here. Decent rain, finally.
Yes.
Got some luck last start. Barrier 11 might be a little tricky. $2.70. Star of Chaos, $5.50. Lady of Honour, who's flying at the moment, is at $5.50. And then this morning, Lavish Girl, what price was she when Dino... Oh, the tab hasn't got the market. The flux up. Anyway, it's $9 now. Dino's Rammer Ruffy. Mm-hmm. And Dave Eustace said, not a bad throw because has drawn well and wouldn't be surprised if it turned the tables on the favourite, which
so
is a stable mate.
So was he tipping Lavish Girl?
No, in the end he came back to decent rain, but he said there's not much between them.
That's a worry. You can't stop them. Oh, Dave, your eyebrows, know that. Look, I'm sure he'd admit it too. I'm sure he'd admit it. He's not the best.
Well, he didn't declare them the best of the day.
Well, who did he give the best of the day?
Hang on, I've got to go back and have a look.
Well, you do that and I'll talk about Decent Rain because she absolutely walloped a similar field class-wise to this last week in the Vobis Gold
Bonvicini at value.
Bonvicini?
Yep.
Well, he can't win. If Dave Eustace says it'll win, it can't win.
I'm sticking with our man, Dave.
No, you can't. You just... We love Dave. We love him. But, you know, you just waste a lot of money on what he says. Now, decent rain. Some may say the same about me, actually. Decent rain. Stiff couple of runs there. Reginald Allen, fangirl form. Flemington run should have been a lot closer to the winner. Then goes to Ballarat last week and just hoses up. And that was as easy a win as you would like to see.
Where will she be from the gate?
Yeah, she's going to be probably covering a little bit of ground. That's a negative. The positive is, this is largely a glorified benchmark 64. You know, only three horses have achieved a rating higher than 64 in this race. Are we really thinking there's a lot of depth here? I don't know. I have her on top. At this stage, though, I want to wait and see closer to the race what the price is, because I think, you know, they'll come for Lavish Girl. They might try a horse like Reduna, which just didn't go a yard at Cranbourne on that heavy ground. Just absolutely no hope. And the other one that I thought was a really strong winning chance was Lady of Honour. Maiden win was good at Ballarat. Went to Lakeside. It was a little bit of a sit sprint sort of race, but she was pressured and asked a serious question for probably 300 metres out, and she just kept responding. And in the end, she had 60 kilos on her back. She fought them all off, and she was going away from them again at the line. Ben and JD Hayes going really well. She's drawn one. She'll be on speed. Caulfield. You know, it's a pretty good recipe, isn't it?
I was keen on spinning last start, midweek grade. It might have been a little hard to make around. Was she a little disappointing, or could she bounce back?
Got the ability to bounce back. I don't know what her distance is. I don't know if she's a 1,400-metre horse or a run-on 1,200-metre horse. Yeah, just probably want to see spinning do it again.
Right, so what's the play in this race?
I think you have to factor in decent rain as a win bet at some point. But what odds is she?
270.
I'm not taking 270 right here, right now. I'll wait a little bit. I think the two that I'll probably back in the race are Lady of Honour, and I'll probably save on decent rain. That's how I'll play it. But I'll wait till tomorrow.
All right. Lady of Honour 550 might be the each way play. Race number four is the Premier Signs Doveton Stakes. Over the 1,000 metres, take out the two. Really interesting having a chat to Dave Eustace before, because Anthar was just the world beater as a two-year-old, but what he made the salient point that she was so developed, so much more mature than the two-year-olds. That dominance was just natural, and she probably hasn't improved. And the others, now that she's racing fully grown mature horses, have caught up. But he thinks that she's finally showing a bit more of that restraint and learning how to race. So $4.20 favourite, Yulong Command $4.40, current $5, Starry Legend $8. Would you want to be on Enthar at $4.20? Because she's a backable price tomorrow.
She is. Again, I want to see her win again.
Yep.
I thought she had every chance down the straight. She was good. She looked fluent. She sort of cruised along, but it's not the horse that we saw as a two-year-old. It looked like it could be absolutely anything. Like, she was a fair few rungs below that. Ironic that Profiteer as well, a super quick two-year-old, was also in that race. And yes, won, but wasn't exactly, you know, announcing himself as a Group 1 horse in that race winning. He was just too fast. I think Curran, back to this distance, can be effective. Just sitting off the speed a little bit and finishing off. He was too good for Yulong Command over 9.55. Going back three runs, back to late September. Caulfield sprint run was good. Just got too far back. I just don't know about 1,200 metres in sort of listed company. I think he's better between 1,000 and 1,100, where he can really use that punchy turn of foot. He's drawn out. He's going to get plenty of room to move. Matt Cartwright rides him really well. I just thought he was probably the top pick in a really even race. When you go through them, there's horses like Starry Legend that has the ability and the speed to win, but they're clearly still working him out. They rode him off pace last time. He was home okay without having the big red light on his head to back me next time. Blinkers go on. Yulong Command's found some good form. He's racing well. He's a bolter, freshened up. You know, he had that miss when he stepped up to Group 2 level in that Caulfield sprint. It was probably a bit of a bridge too far for him. But before that, you know, giving Pandemic a little beating, Dirty Thoughts, who won I think she won a stakes race after that, didn't she?
Yeah.
She did, won the Northwood Plume. So it's a tricky race. I'm not, like, mad keen to bet here. I think Curran's a top pick as far as tipping the card's concerned.
You can get $5. You can get $5 Curran. So maybe a little something each way. Curran, yeah. Number 7 in maybe. The
luck.
Doveton.
Just a little one for luck.
23 minutes past 9. It's Friday Form Focus with the Shark. We'll take a break. Come back with the rest of Caulfield. We'll find you the winner of the Winterbottom. It's Wodonga Cup Day today. G Hall, Matty Stewart up there. I hope they were still alive after last night's Calcutta. And, of course, the TAB Sandown Cup tonight. Jericho Cup on Sunday. What a weekend. We've got a racing. More winners to come after the break.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Yes, it is Friday Form Focus with the Shark. We are looking at Zipping Classic Day at Caulfield. It is the reopening. No restrictions, so get to the Heath tomorrow. You can wander wherever you want. It's only $20 to get in. There's lots of fun. I think there's even a band or a concert after the last as well. It's going to be a party at Caulfield tomorrow, and we also get to say farewell to Glenn Boss. So get yourself trackside at the Heath tomorrow. We're up to race number 5, which is the Beck Pro Build Summon Stakes. Now, this is a Group 3 event over 1,600 metres, and Steinem is the favourite here at $3.30. Tricky Gal, $4.80. Quantum Mechanic, $5.50. Zing, out to $12. I'm really keen on Steinem from this gate tomorrow, Sharky. Are you in the Steinem camp, or are you looking elsewhere?
I am. It's two horses with Group 1 form, Steinem and Quantum Mechanic, and the rest are probably hoping, I reckon. I know Damien Oliver's riding it from a good gate, but I reckon Tricky Gal's unders. It's just going. Just. Like the Navision run was Niverson, whatever you call it, was good. The invitation was that turning me on that race? Not really. And the Hot Danish, was there. It didn't finish off. Does that mean I want to charge into it at a mile? Probably not. This all means it probably wins by 4 lengths. Steinem's problem is she gets a long way back.
Yeah, that's why I said, can she just a little closer from gate 5?
That is the million-dollar question. I'm not sure. She seems to be pretty one-dimensional. Part of my play on this race will be backing her to win, but I think Quantum Mechanic, when you look at that form, it's pretty hard to ignore, isn't it? Like, the Stock Stakes run was good from a mile back. She was a bit closer in the Toorak. 2 lengths from mine, Thunderstruck and Tefane. And then the Cantala just didn't go right for her. And she's not, to be honest, she's not of that standard. And I think Mick Price has said throughout the prep, you know, those Group 1 throw at the stumps were just that. And they were a little bit surprised that she ran so well in a 2-rack. And that probably she's a Group 3, Group 2 class filly. Well, here she is landing in a Group 3 race against a group of mares that, you know, they've been struggling to win in fillies and mares restricted races, really. And let's be honest. I think the knockout in the race might be good and proper. There was really good money for her at sale, but it was a leading day and she was backing off the speed. I think she could be a knockout chance, maybe. And at the bottom, Perfect World absolutely trotted up at Ballarat first up. And then at the Valley last week, oh my God. Like the $2.30 that they bet was an absolute gift. And I think she's still waiting to get out. Oh, she did not, the last 200 metres, she did not see any air at all to make a run. If she got out, she would have won by 3 lengths again. And she's probably lobbing in this race as a horse on the up and be half the price that it is. But she didn't and she's not. I think there are limited chances in this race. Quantum Mechanics probably the main bet, something on Steinem. Multiples around good and proper and Perfect World as place getters.
All right. I like the confidence. I like the strategy. There is some confidence there. Good luck too tomorrow, Matty Elliott and Simon Zara. It's their last Metropolitan meeting in training partnership as well before they go their separate ways. So a bit of confidence in race number five, which is good because that builds the bank for the quaddie.
It does.
The first leg of the quaddie is the Neds Sandown Guineas, which is a Group 2 event. And unfortunately, we've lost Brigantine out of the race, which was the early favourite from the Cummings stable, which now means Festival Dancer, another Sydney sider from the Matt Smith stable, is the favourite. This filly's been airborne, winning her last four. She's four from four at the mile. Can be a bit wayward. They've got a near side blinker coming off for the first time. First try, Caulfield with Willow on board, $3.30. Port Louis. Interesting, Dave used to said that they're really disappointed with that draw. They wanted a softer draw because they think there's just a slight query at a strong 1600. He's still a maiden. $3.80. Cardinal Gem was a flashing light run over the Melbourne Cup Carnival in that same race as Port Louis. I think they bet something like $12 earlier in the week before final fields. He's $5 now, and then you had to Blushing Tycoon, $10 or $11 rest of the field. Who do you like in the Guineas?
I think it's an afterthought race for plenty of these, and there's probably a wild throw at the stumps for others. I think it's an open race, more open than the market suggests with Festival Dancer. I know she's put a few together. That Spring Stakes, like, really. War Eternal was beaten in the 78 before it. I don't know if this is raging good form. And prior to that, wins at Kembla and Goulburn in a class too. Are we taking this price? I think she should be nearer.
First time Caulfield, she can do things wrong in a race.
I think she should be near it. I can see that she's favourite, right? But not at that price. It's poison. Cardinal Gem's been set for the race. It's pretty obvious. And Graham Begg made mention of that earlier in the week on your program when he was at Caulfield with you. Blue Sapphire Run was good. They had a go at him in early markets in that listed race at Flemington, and he ran really well. Hopefully he doesn't get too far back, but he leaves himself wanting at the start because he's just a little bit casual away. He's not a terrible beginner. He just sort of ambles out and plonks along for the first little bit, and that makes it a little difficult for him to really get into a tactical position. He's the top pick for me. I'm not, mad keen to back him in the race. I think the price was a bit more generous earlier in the week, and he's been really well backed. That gives me confidence, but it doesn't make me want to fly into him and have a bet. There's a horse here called Reigate, number 11, that Trent and Natalie are sending out second time into a Sandown Guineas. There was money for him at Pakenham. He won really nicely. The time on the day was good. I think he ran faster than the 64 on the day. Some of these have genuine, maiden 64. Like a 64 is where they would be going next, a lot of these horses. So I think of those that are coming from weaker grades, Reigate might be the one.
$26 and $6?
Yeah, I think that's generous. Like, Port Louis had plenty of chances. He might need the snip, Port Louis, just to straighten him up a little bit. And I'm not sure if he's a bit thick in the wind as well. So there might be a couple of little options there to improve Port Louis, but the raw ability's there. Chartres.
Yep.
Really good win at Cranbourne. Fantastic win there. Is he a wet tracker? Four runs to date. Three of them have been really, really good, and they've all been on rain-affected ground. The good three, I thought he was just fair there. Just fair. So in the mix, goes in the quaddie. Not beating the chest mad about this race. 2, 4, 6, 11, 12 for the quaddie.
2, 4, 6, 11, and 12. 2, 4, 6, 11, and 12 in the quaddie. So the first leg, that is Port Louis, Chartres, Cardinal Gem, 11, which is Reigate, and the 12, Festival Dancer. That is the first leg of the quaddie, the Neds Sandown Guineas. A few SMSs are coming through here. Our good friend over in New Zealand is listening, Kiwi Morgs.
Oh, the Morganator.
He's got a little Kiwi.
Morg doggy dog.
Got a Kiwi multi for us.
Oh, hang on. Today?
I'm not sure. Where are they? Are they racing today or tomorrow at Tairoa?
They'll be on somewhere.
Tairoa, race 2, Sakura Blossom.
Sakura Blossom.
Into race 8, Gold Watch. Absolutely free money.
Yeah.
So, race dog. Two, Secura Blossom, race eight, Gold Watch.
Hang on, hang on, hang on. Let's find
Kiwi
it.
Kiwi Morgs.
Race two, Secura Blossom.
Is it today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Secura Blossom's out. Well, it's 1-2 out of two. Righto. Well, it'll start $1.50. Thanks, Morgs. What was the other one? Race eight.
Race eight, which was Gold...
Gold Watch.
Gold Watch. So there's
oh, yeah? Yeah, well, it's... I think it's 1-5 out of 6.
A little something there. Now, Josh from
Not
Horsham...
Not exactly giving us loads of value.
Josh from Horsham's given us one for Wodonga Cup Day as well.
Thank he you, said, Joshy.
Great thief, each way play in the Cup. Very good in the Donald Cup. And then he likes race Yarra Valley, race 5, number 3. Mouser or Morser looks tough to beat tomorrow. So that's a couple of out wides from the RSN listeners. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, it's the feature, the Herald Sun Zipping Classic.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. Time for the feature, and that is the Group 2 Herald Sun Zipping Classic. Weight for age, $750,000 this year. And look, to be honest, we'll talk more about it probably on Monday. Thank goodness Spanish Mission is in, because $750,000, they were probably hoping for a more in-depth, better field than what they've got here,
probably.
Sharky. It should be, now that as we say goodbye to Glenn Boss, the fairy tale which overshadows the actual depth of the race, $750,000.
Yeah, it should be. And that Bossy's the story now of this race. So I hope it is the fairy tale ending. He's a Melbourne Cup place getter. Those sort of horses have a really good record in this race historically. He is absolutely the class act of this field. Some of the races that he has run in, some of the horses he has run against, these horses could only dream about getting to that level.
And I think Peter Moody's only had him for a couple of weeks, but he has been super impressed. And I thought it was interesting yesterday when I said to him, is this your next weight for age horse? Is
he was emphatic, wasn't he?
Yeah, and or is he ready for a Melbourne Cup next year? He goes, no, he's weight for age.
Yeah, he's weight for age. Boom, straight away. And we can really take that assessment with some merit because of what he's done recently with Incentivise off a similar quick backup, and he quickly made an assessment there, as he should be able to do. You know, it is Peter Moody. So if he says the horse is good enough to win, that's good enough for me.
Is $1.50 almost a gift now?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Is there going to be any speed in the race?
I don't think there's going to be a great deal. He will go forward, though, which is, you know, a positive. He's got decent form around 2,500 metres, but it's all early in his career. You've got to go back to 2019 for the, you know, the runs in the Cocked Hat when he was really good there. You know, he won over 2,600 metres, beating Nayef Road at Group 3 level. He was sort of around the mark in Gordon Stakes, and he won the Belmont Derby 2,400 metres in America, albeit narrowly. But all that form is, you know, it's three-year-old form. He's been away from that for a while. I think the closest reference point you could take is the Yorkshire Cup over 2,700. That's another 300 metres past this. So that is the concern, whether he is sharp enough these days for 2,400 metres. That is the only query I have, because on every other score, he has this lot covered.
It was a brilliant ride by Nashville, I should say, on Warning. Took the race by the scruff of the neck. Could you see something similar tomorrow?
Yeah, I think he has to go forward again. I think they have to be positive on him. And Nash kept him going to win that race, as he had to do in the St. Ledger. He had to keep the horse going to keep him chasing and run through the line. So that partnership has worked really well at these last two. We know Ollie can really keep them going through the line. We've heard that all through COVID with him yelling and shouting and everything else. I don't see a stack of speed away from that. I think they'll probably be positive on Flash R from the wide gate. Dr. Drill will be handy. Skelm and Luna Flare will both balance up and finish off. I wonder what they do with Silent Sovereign from a good barrier out to this distance. She has been able to sit sort of box seat over 24 and 2,500 metres in the past. So I don't think Luke Curry will be wanting to give up a massive head start from that good gate. I think it'll be an even tempo. They won't break any records here. you know, like an average staying tempo.
Outside of Spanish Mission, I think the value is Wentworth. I thought he ranged up to win last start, but maybe this 26 just found him out. He's back to 2,400 metres, $15. Like,
maybe the class finds him out too.
Yeah, maybe.
I know the Bendigo Cup was a Group 3, but, you know, Tara Mansour had been going around in some pretty ordinary races, and Smoke and Roman's basically an open handicap, a listed grade. I don't think he's a genuine black type horse, so he's run to Dewis and Floating Artist in the Coonji. He was probably his best run this prep. The others have been good, but in slightly weaker races, I'd say. That would be my assessment.
So Spanish Mission just should win?
He should just win, I think, yeah. It'd be a great result if he did too, for the storyline, for Bossy, everything else. See him stand up in the irons. Yep. He goes over the line and wave goodbye. Yep. Right off into the sunset.
Wonder what he'd have planned. Will we see a star jump at the end?
That'd be cool. And that's, you know what?
Aaron Spiteri backflip or...
if he was on a $10 chance with average form, you'd kind of think, yeah, okay, he's going to need to pull out something here. But if he wins, and that's part of the interest why I want to go. I want to see what he does when he comes back in.
All right.
Might be something special.
Is it a one-outer in the quaddy?
Yeah, he's a one-outer.
All right.
He's not an absolute moral, but I'm looking at the race. I don't know what else I'd put into the quaddy. Mm. You know, you'd probably just cruel some percentage.
All right. That is the Zipping Classic. Race number 8 is the Keno Eclipse. No scratchings here.
Here's
Mick,
one.
Mick Price gave a really good push for our Playboy, and it's getting tight in the market, though. $2.70. Star Elf, $5.50. Royal Mile at $6. And Bombaccini, a good push from Dave Eustace, $11. Who do you like here?
Royal Mile, number 10.
Yep.
I think this horse has been set for this
to
race.
To the front.
Yeah, I think he's been set for this race. First up run was really good. Second up run, he was just a class above them and looked it, too. He's a big, strong sort of horse that gets up on speed and can dominate a race a little bit. I think he's a great horse for this race. And I reckon it's been pretty smart placement by Lee Creek to target this event. I think he lands here with the right horse and he's ready to win again. Our Playboy, yeah, danger. I just think, you know, he's a better horse on rain-affected ground. The win at Flemington on good ground was his first in, 11 or 12 attempts. I'm still saying that he is a better wet tracker. He got wet ground last time and he ran a really, really good race.
He's going well.
Yeah. He is going very well. Starrell is thereabouts again with the right run. Willow could get her across the line. If you wanted to extend it any more in the quaddy, Excel Man might be the horse that knocks them out. Again, it's a race that the stable target. He's flirted with better than benchmark sort of form in the past, but probably I'd suggest he's not going to get to that level now.
All right. Regalo De Gaetano's flying.
Yeah, going really well.
Didn't run too bad in that all-star mile. All right, quaddy numbers.
Quaddy numbers. Royal Mile on top, number 10. Number 7, Starrell goes in, and number 6, Our Playboy, and that is
that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Really trimming.
Well, there are a lot of pretenders in this race.
All right, 10,
a
7.
A lot of horses doing a lot of threatening.
And 6.
And not a lot of winning.
Decent last race of the day. The... Key Clean, Kevin Heffernan Stakes. Dino is super confident on I Am Superman. Oh,
yeah, we just launched here.
360. Streets of Avalon, $6.50. Age Retrievery, $7. Rainier, $7.50. There's a few that haven't won for a while in this race. The X Factor for me, I'm really looking forward to seeing Surprise Baby back. If it was a mile, I'd probably be all over the baby.
Yeah, if it was a mile, it would be a race that he could win. 1,400, not sure. I love everything that Gavin Bejgood said, though, about the horse, that he's sharp and his work's been excellent. You know, he's nearly won a fee in stakes. First up, wait for age. You know, he's a horse that could win this race on ability. It's just where he gets to in running, I guess, over 1,400 and how the track is playing.
Mm.
That's the other factor. If this track is an improving good four, it might be difficult to make ground. Streets of Avalon will be on speed. Super run in the Manicato. Nobody missed him closing off late. I think it's been a really smart move from Shane Nichols to pull up after the Fian, freshen up, and target this race. Because 1,400 metres wait for age at a track that he loves, it's just ideal for Streets of Avalon. He definitely goes in the quaddie. Age of Chivalry definitely goes in the quaddy number four. Just didn't go a yard in that heavy ground. Previous win was really tough. But the bet in this race is I Am Superman, number seven.
Is this an open the shoulders?
Well,
360?
If we're winning, and it is the last race, so we might be struggling come to this point, I'll be having a bet at 360.
All right.
Yeah. Confidence. Look at the form. Like, the premier stakes run behind Master Crusader was great. Absolutely no luck in the Classique Legend. Should have been at least with the place getters going across the line there. Lost and Running's come out in one since. You go back, he beat Think It Over in the Ajax in March.
I think Eduardo would win this by...
Oh, you know what? This horse is such a good top-of-the-ground horse at this distance range. Oh, I just reckon he's a great bet here. Old mate, I Am Superman.
How many in the last leg of the quaddy?
We're just going to roll with those three. Streets of Avalon, Age of Chivalry, I Am Superman.
1, 4...
And it pains me to leave out the baby.
7.
But if he beats me, he beats me.
All right. Best at Caulfield will hold to the end. We're going to take a break, and then I want a...
Dog mail.
I want some dog mail. I want a winner bottom winner as well. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Joshy Rodder, he'll give us a winner for Caulfield tomorrow, and he'll also give us the next two instalments in his top 10 moments at the Heath. Sharky,
do you want me to rip through
who wins the winter bottom?
The winter bottom, Elite Street.
Just take the money now, yeah. 250.
Best at Caulfield, True Marvel, I'm Superman. Mooney Valley tonight, Burning Power will win the first.
Yes.
Tubby Tommy Havers says Cremosa wins race 5. It'll make up for it.
Okay.
Oh, little fat boy Tommy Havers. He said it'll make up for its last start failure.
All right.
Celtic Vader, Adelaide Race 1.
Adelaide. Celtic Vader,
oh,
Adelaide
now the
race
dog
one.
Tip from the old man.
Yes.
Big Daddy Shark. Big Daddy Shark.
Yep.
He says, have something on Aussie Secret.
Aussie Secret. Yeah, Gareth Hall's very keen on that as well.
Oh, well, that's
you can have a little something each way confrontational tonight too at the Valley. Each way if the rain doesn't come.
If the rain doesn't come, right.
We'll see you out there tomorrow. You're taking your girls. We'll see you out there at Sipping
Classic
Day.
Yeah, we're going to go and see Bossy.
Excellent. Have a good one, Sharky. We'll see you Monday as well.